You're listening to the All American Actors Podcast, Episode 12. In today's episode, I'm going to be speaking with Australian actress Alexandra Park. She's going to be sharing with us her journey working in LA and talk to us about her brand new series that's coming up next. Ready to go behind the scenes and learn what it really takes to build a sustainable career as a working actor in the U.S. film and TV industry? Join me, Catherine Beck, your All-American accent coach, as I give you the insight and inspiration to take action on your career. Learn my best tips and tricks to performing with an American accent, and hear from working actors and other industry professionals to give you a comprehensive overview of this biz we call showbiz. This is the All-American Actors Podcast. Welcome back, and gosh, I gotta say, the reviews we have received for the show have been out of this world. Just incredible. Listen to what Barry Bissell has to say about the show. He says, at the start of this year, I had a goal to research an American accent coach to be able to work in the U.S. industry. And Catherine's resources and teaching approach is like no other. This podcast is a fantastic learning point for starting and individuals already in the industry to develop their American accent to the best they can. Don't waste time on YouTube videos. This is the real deal. Thank you so much. You know, I am so happy to be able to inspire you to reach your goals. And that is really what I'm here for, to be your biggest cheerleader, to tell you that, you know what? You can do it. Do not give up. Reach for the stars and make your goals happen. And if you also want to be featured as one of our star listeners of the week, all you got to do is leave us a 5-star review. And when you do, I'll give you a shout out right here on the show. So if you like this episode, then go ahead and leave us a review. Today's guest is not only talented, but she is one of the kindest and most hardworking actors I know. Originally from Australia, she has made her way both in the Australian and U.S. industry. You may know her as Princess Eleanor from E!'s first scripted series, The Royals. And she's got a new series out on Hulu in the U.S. Please welcome to the podcast, Alexandra Park. Welcome, Alex. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's really great to see you. It's been a while.
Hi, Kath. It's my pleasure. It's so great to see you. You look exactly the same as when I last saw you. Beautiful. And
you as well. You haven't aged one bit. How's LA treating you?
LA is not my favorite place right now in the world. For obvious reasons, but it's been an interesting year over here, and particularly right now, it's LA is getting hit pretty hard. But the industry's been pretty quiet this year, unfortunately. But you know what? It's okay. I've been keeping busy doing other things, and it's crazy. I don't know when they're going to have auditions happening again, but those are all self tapes, which I kind of prefer in a way. To be honest, I think, there's no need for those to come back in room auditions. And so there's been things floating around, and yeah, it's just a strange time, but it's, I still love it over here.
It is a strange time. I will agree with you on that. Well, maybe we should start just by telling our listeners just a little bit about who you are, your background.
So I'm Australian, obviously. I'm 31 and I've been trying to be an actor for as long as I can remember. I got my agent when I was about 13 and started auditioning for various Australian TV shows and things, and didn't have much luck for about 10 years. I sort of in and out of guest spots. I was on Home and Away a couple of times and Elephant Princess and shows like that, Packed to the Rafters, just sort of bits and pieces here and there. And then I moved over to LA in 2013. I went over one time before that for a pilot season by myself, which was very intense as a sort of throwing me in the deep end type situation. Moved over. I sort of had that experience where I had about a million auditions, and I think I got I got traction on maybe one of them, and then decided to move over here permanently for more rejection. So I've been living here, since 2013, which is a long time. Yeah.
That's right. So I met you. So you went over there and then you came back. And that's when I met you and we worked together and then you went back.
Exactly. So I went, and that's exactly right. So I went over the first time and was told, and that was probably why I got zero traction on all of my auditions, is because my American accent was not very good in the beginning. And I'd seen various teachers. I'd seen a few in Sydney and I think maybe online, and I just wasn't quite getting it. And I was definitely getting feedback that they were hearing my Australian accent, you know, just popping out in little sections, that unfortunately is extremely distracting and almost an immediate strikeout in the industry over here. It is so competitive that if they've got any excuse to, you know, to cross your name off the list, they will. And accent is one that is, you know, very easy for them to use. And so I went back, and then I found Kath. I found you, thank God. I can't even remember how I found you. Do you remember how?
I think it was through your agent, because I had a meeting with one of your agents and they said, we want to start sending over some of our clients to work on their American accent and get them more out into that part of the industry. And so I think that's how it happened.
Okay, maybe, or was it, would have been, maybe it was Sandra, my acting teacher.
Yeah, it could have been Sandra as well. Yeah.
Anyway, either way, that's when I found you, and I remember just you know, it was exactly what I needed. I was just like, what do I need to do? And you're like, well, this is, I mean, I was coming over, what, once or twice a week for a while, for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, and that's when I, you know, thank God I found you. We really, really worked on it, and you gave me homework, and that's, and then I went back, and I never got any bad feedback on my accent again.
And you went back, and I remember you were really close to booking a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get it, but you were one of maybe like one or two couple girls that were up for it and ended up going to somebody else. But then you got something else right after that, didn't you?
Yes. So I went, that's right. And I, so my, yeah, that was that camp. I think that was, I don't. And so that was with my new and improved American accent. I got very close to that show, but then didn't get it. but then, yeah. And then I went back, and then I was cast in a show called The Royals, which didn't require an American accent.
That was the funniest thing when you sent me that email. You're like, I booked something, but it's not an American accent. Oh, well, I was still so excited for you.
Well, but it was, but this is the other thing. And I was actually talking to my fiance about it yesterday when I was telling him I was doing this podcast with you. And he was like, but I feel like your, all of your, you know, study with Kath, like, I feel like what we did together working on my American accent gave me a really great understanding of accents in general, and that, you know, it would have and did help me sort of get a grasp on a British accent without having any sort of real training in that department either. Obviously, it's easier to speak British accent than it is American as an Australian, but I think just the way that you teach, you sort of really get in there in terms of the way things, how it all makes sense and the way sounds are, and I think it definitely helped.
How to break down the sounds, how to identify the sounds.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and you were a good student. I mean, I taught you phonetics and you applied it very nicely, and you picked it up pretty quickly. So that I would assume that the phonetics part of it probably helped in preparing for the Royals and also feeling really confident, I guess, with that accent.
Mm-hmm. 100%, I remember all the work. You know, I've never been one that's enjoyed or been very good at homework, but I really wanted to, you know, to improve. And the homework that you gave me, I still have the folder here in LA with me with all of your sheets of information in there, And it was just really easy to understand. And so I felt like I was getting it each time. And it was that sort of instant satisfaction of like getting better and understanding it that doesn't usually happen to me with anything else I try to learn. So.
And so did you find then when you moved back over to LA, did you find then that it was so much easier to audition or speak in the accent? Like, when did you feel that you kind of turned a corner with it and then all of a sudden you felt a little bit more fluent in the accent?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ever wondered what it takes to make it in the movie business? Peel back the curtain with 4-6 Success Filmmaking. 4-6 Success Filmmaking is where filmmakers share their stories and the secrets.
It's beyond competitive out there.
There have been movies that it's taken me 10 years to get made.
Don't wait to create. Like, you've got to just keep making stuff.
Tune in to 4-6 Success Filmmaking for your dose of cinematic realness, direct from the voices that have lived it.
Honestly, I think after that intense training that we did together, it was almost quite immediate, like when I came back to LA, in that I feel like at first I didn't get any sort of, there was, you know, because before I found you, I was getting feedback like almost 70% of the 80% of the time that they heard the accent, they heard the Australian accent. And then after doing that intense training, which is what I said, I'm like, what do I need to do, Kath? Like, how can I get this up to scratch by the time I go back? Because I want to hit the ground running. And so that's where, you know, you said, well, we need to do like a couple of times a week and there's going to be a lot of homework and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm sure there were a little bit at the beginning when I first came back over. But since then, I just get constant feedback from my agents that, you know, I was getting constant feedback that my accent was flawless. And that was sort of their way of saying, I guess, telling me that, you know, they were impressed with the work that I'd done with you. But then ever since then, in the last couple of years, like, they don't even mention my accent at all. So,
good.
I mean, and I talk about you all the time to so many people because they're fascinated by it, because it's not an easy thing to learn. And I think even now, still, I'll watch so many Australians on TV shows, and they can be actors who have just started out, or they can be actors that are highly renowned and very, very famous and have been working forever and should have better accents than they do. And it's so distracting, and it stands out, and it's just blows my mind that people just still get away with that. I mean, it's not an easy thing to learn. And I think, and unless you have someone like Kath, like I said, I saw 3 or 4 other teachers, people who had written books and were recommended by such and such, and my accent was crap. It was terrible.
So what did I do that was so different?
Well, you just had, I don't know. I mean, it's the way that you, it's your method of teaching. It's the way you, and I have like learning disabilities, and I'm not someone that, you know, creative people don't find it, a lot of creative people find focusing on sort of methodical type things like that challenging. You know, we've got short attention spans, and it's difficult to understand and really grasp what it is you're trying to say and interpret the difference in sounds and be able to create them yourself. And I think, I don't know, I just remember doing all these physical, not warm-ups, but exercises that you'd have me do, and like that really, I would have like these light bulb moments, like, oh, and like talking about the palate and how that has to be raised and how our jaws are, as Australians, are so much, you know, less inclined to move, and therefore our sounds are very flat and sort of monotone and things like that, and getting that
sense.
Flow of the accent, as well as, you know, as well as all the obvious things like the R's and the vowels and the inflections and all of, you know, it's such a combination of sort of aspects that all need to be happening at once. And I think that's the way you broke those down one by one was easy for me to understand. And that's something I hadn't experienced before with an accent teacher. So yeah. And that's why I sent William to you, William played my brother on The Royals, and he's British and has even less of an attention span than me. I love him to death. But, you know, and I remember because William and I, when we were in London, we would spend, you know, our weekends doing self-tapes for American jobs back home, from London for LA. And, you know, him being a Brit and me being an Australian, and I remember William was really jealous of my American accent, and he was just kind of blown away. And he was like, how is your accent? It's just so consistent. So consistent, Alex. It's so good. And I was like, I got the girl. I got her. I got her for you, man. I'll hook you up. And so
hook you up, man.
And William's accent is fantastic now as well. So
yeah, he's done a really great job. Yeah. Well, it's been so much fun to work with both of you. So I'm curious, because your accent is so incredible, do you still ever practice? Like, do you have to practice anymore? Or is it just like so easy because you live over there now and you can just jump straight into it?
It is a lot easier living here and being surrounded by Americans, and my fiance is American, and I'd say practice. Yeah. I mean, do I sit there and sort of go through like I used to? No, like go through the scripts and make sure that I've identified everything that needs to be identified. No, but because I'm auditioning so frequently over here, I'm constantly practicing my accent, and I'm very lucky because I have my fiance who can pick up, and there are occasional words for sure. I'd say almost every audition, almost every script, there'll be a word or a vowel or something that stands out that I might miss, particularly if there's been a bit of a stretch between auditions. When they're constantly happening, I feel like I get the hang of it a lot easier, but it really is about doing, and I do all of the warm-ups that you've taught me. So when I'm about, because I feel like every time I'm about to do an American self-tape, I can feel that my jaw and my tongue and my mouth is not prepared for the accent, and so therefore the dialogue doesn't come out as naturally when I start speaking an American accent as it does, and so I need to massage my jaw and push my tongue out all the way and do raspberries and just kind of get everything moving. And because I remember that was something that you identified with me very quickly, is that my jaw was particularly lazy, and it's true, and that's why some of the vowels just don't quite come out. And it really helps immediately. And so after I've spent 5 minutes doing those exercises that you taught me, it suddenly feels much more effortless for the words to come out in the accent, which obviously you want, because when you're focusing on, you know, being in the scene and the emotion of the scene or the comedy of the scene or whatever, you don't want to be worrying about an accent. It needs to be coming out, you know, comfortably and naturally, as though you don't even have to think about it. So those techniques I definitely still practice.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. And what about when you're on set now? So like you're doing an American accent, you're on set. How do you approach that whole atmosphere? Do you speak in the accent the whole time? Do you break out of the accent?
Well, I actually, so if I on so I've had a few jobs in my American accent. I don't talk a lot on set when I'm like, for the jobs I've had, like I had a pretty spectacular experience. I had a small role in a Peter Hedges film with and I had a quite an intense scene with Lucas Hedges, who's obviously an incredible actor, and Julie Roberts was there, and I was incredibly nervous because it was my first, it was like, you know, I've done bits and pieces in my American accent, but that was, you know, something you don't want to screw up at all in any way. And so I didn't really talk a lot. I think I was pretty silent for the whole day until that scene. But I made sure I would go through it, you know, with James or you know, and even with Peter, I believe, and just make sure that everything's locked in so that I know exactly how each syllable is supposed to be sounding. But yeah, I mean, I will speak in my American accent when I'm introducing myself on self tapes, just because, you know, it's probably just a little less jarring for them to not hear the Australian accent before the scenes. But no, I wouldn't say that I speak in my American accent on set. No, but I don't talk much.
Well, that's interesting. And do you also find that, you know, because you said you slate with your name in your American accent, do you find that that also, sort of like what you were saying before, doesn't give them a reason to not book you for the role? Like if they hear the American accent, they're connecting you to the American character that you're going out for. And if they hear the Australian accent, do you think that that might give them a possibility to like listen out for something?
I do. Yeah. I mean, whether or not that's true, I don't know, but I think that, you know, there are so many different casting directors who operate in different ways and have different opinions and ideas about actors and what they're looking for. And it depends on the job. And I just think it's just eliminating, you know, and something that they could be distracted by. So if they're seeing you, you know, if they're, you know, say they're seeing a bunch of tapes and I don't know, it's just, you just don't want them to go, oh, well, now I know that she's Australian, I'm going to listen. I'm going to see if I can pull her up on the accent. I don't want the casting directors to be focusing on, you know, my accent. I want her, because my accent is very good, thanks to you. And so I don't want to give her an excuse, you give her a reason to be looking for something other than, you know, focusing on what I'm doing in the scene.
Yeah. I was just thinking about something. When you first went to LA as well, was it hard for you to get your O-1 visa and that whole process back then? Or was it fairly simple for you? Because I know a lot of actors struggle with that whole thing.
Struggled with it. Yeah. I mean, back then it's never an easy process. I haven't heard that it's been easy for anyone, but the O-1 visa I got a long time ago and it was fairly straightforward because I believe that, I was able to be sponsored by my management back then, but you're not allowed to do that anymore. Yeah, it was so long ago, it's hard to tell. But we also went my green card as well. That one was difficult as well. Yeah, I mean, it's just become much more difficult now. They're not making it very easy. But I think it's just a tough time over here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It's such a strange time. And so have you noticed that?
A really good lawyer, sorry, Kath, I was just going to say for a tip, is having a really good immigration lawyer is the ticket for O-1 visas. The reason mine came through, because I didn't have a lot of experience when I applied for my O-1 visa. And I was doing a little something. I think I was doing like a web series or something, and that I was able to get sponsored via my managers through that, but it was very sort of jumping through hoops and kind of, it was a little bit, is this going to work out? But I had a fantastic immigration lawyer who, you know, is very experienced with that kind of thing. So that's really what you want to look for to make sure that you've got the best chance of having that approved.
Getting a referral or a recommendation from another actor that's gone through it, make sure that you're working with somebody who really knows what they're talking about and can make that process smooth for you, that transition.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good advice. What do you think's been like your biggest lesson along the way of, you know, working in the U.S. industry? Like, because it's so different, you know, to the Australian industry. What was sort of the biggest shocker, the biggest lesson that you've learned in that progression from working overseas in Australia and then into the bigger market?
Ooh, the biggest shock, the biggest difference between the two industries. Well, I will say something that is actually, I hope, quite uplifting and encouraging, and that is that I found the Australian industry was a lot harder for me to sort of prove myself in, to break through. I'd been at it for a long time, about 10 years, and sort of just, I'd worked little bits here and there, but I just didn't, I never sort of felt that I was really getting the opportunities that I really was after. And I don't know if there's something to explain why that is, but I know that that's the case for a lot of Aussies. And I guess the massive difference for me was coming over to the States. The industry is much, much bigger, much, much bigger. And there are so many more opportunities, and like LA on its own, it's just a city full of people who are like, this is their life, is this industry. So everyone's willing to help out, and everyone's looking for something new and different and willing to. I feel like in my situation, I'm not sure if I was just incredibly fortunate, but I think from speaking to other friends, I can say that it's similar for them in that over here the industry is more willing to give people a go a little bit more and sort of, you know, see what somebody's got who hasn't been on a bunch of shows and doesn't have a huge resume, because they're interested in kind of finding something new. And I think that was incredibly amazing for me, because I just sort of, people were, you know, excited to see me, and I felt like I really had an opportunity to show what I had worked so hard at doing. And and it continues to be that way. That doesn't mean that, you know, you come over here and it's really easy. Like I've had periods of excitement, and I've had periods of wondering if I'm ever going to work again, and I'm sure that's just the way it goes. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the big differences, is that it's a lot bigger over here, and there are a lot more people involved who are looking for all sorts of things from everywhere, and there's kind of something for everyone. So
yeah,
it's much smaller. There's not enough being made. And that being said, I think maybe there's a bit of a reverse happening now. I think there's a lot of things being made in Australia right now. So maybe I need to get back over there.
Yeah, come back. Well, but you've got something that's going to be on Hulu. Is that right?
Yes, yes. A half-hour comedy, 8 episodes, and it's called Everyone is Doing Great. My fiancé is the showrunner. He and our best friend, Stephen Coletti, the two of them are sort of the brains behind the whole project. But I was a producer as well, and we sort of have spent the last 3 years creating a show. And so James, my fiance, wrote and directed it, and then we all produced it and acted in it. And we sort of, it was a bit of a family affair. We sort of shot it with a crew that James had worked with on some independent films over here. And it was a real sort of Mickey Mouse production where everyone just sort of did what they could, and you know, I think I filled in with set design at one point, and it was an amazing experience. And yeah, we were inspired to just make something that with characters that we wanted to play, and so that was a little dream project. And we were lucky enough to have Hulu pick it up, and so it's going to be on January the 13th in the States, and we're in the process of trying to sell it in other territories now, including Australia. So hopefully they get on board as well.
Oh, that's very exciting. I hope so. I would love to watch it over here.
Yeah.
And so was that in your American accent?
Unfortunately not. No, that was, I played an Australian in that one, just because we thought it would be interesting to have some different accents flying through. And one of my close friends, Kariba Hine, is an Australian actress as well, and she's in the show too. And so we play characters with Australian accents, and then the boys have their very piercing Californian accents, and that's a nice kind of contrast.
Nice. I love it. Oh, well, I look forward to watching that whenever I get a chance to watch it over here. I'm sure it'll make its way overseas. And What else is going on? So we're so what do you have in the works? Any thoughts about what your next step is, or what you want to see, where you want to see your career going as you, you know, move forward into this next era in your life?
I would love to just kind of continue on the road I'm on. I think I'm really excited about the show coming out because it'll show me in a very different sort of light than I've been seen before. The show that I was on for a long time was, you know, obviously in a British accent, and it was it was a character, and I was much younger, and I'd like to move into more comedy, and I just want to work and just do interesting roles and challenging roles. The more challenging, the better. And I'd love to possibly work in Australia as well. And so I'm looking into that. There's something that might be happening there that I can't speak about. But I don't know. With the year being what it's been, it's kind of a little bit, you just kind of like, let's just hope for the best and hope that the industry bounces back in a way that there are many more opportunities again. And I think they will. I mean, it's doing a great job of just, you know, doing what it can. And I just want to keep working. And I think I'm so grateful for the opportunities that I've had so far, and excited for whatever's to come. I'm just grateful for my awesome agents that I've been with and manager I've been with for a very long time. And yeah, you're just going to hang in there and just wait for the next thing and see what happens. And I'm excited. I think it'll be great once all this, you know, hard time ends, which hopefully it does soon.
Most definitely. Well, I thought I would wrap it up by just asking you if you have any advice for international actors, because you're an international actor. You started in Australia and you're over there. You've, you know, successfully worked and made it in the U.S. film and TV industry. Do you have any advice for actors that are where you were when you were first starting out and just trying to sift their way through it, that, you know, confusion and not really knowing where to go or what to do? Or do you have any advice for those actors?
Let me try and figure out a small nutshell version, because I could get quite emotional and be here all day, because all I want is for actors like myself, wherever they are, at whatever stage they're in their careers, to just stay in it and just stay focused and don't veer off the track ever, because what it takes to really make a splash and to be given a shot in this industry is your entire focus. It takes that. You need to want it more than anyone, and you need to work really, really hard, work with Pat on your accent and get it perfect, because she will make that happen for you. That is a guarantee. And just don't take any from anyone, because it's hard. It's hard to be in this industry, and it gets you down a lot of the time, because, you know, they say out of 100 auditions, you'll hear back from one of them. And a lot of the time that's completely true. And it's hard, but that doesn't mean that one is around the corner, because it is. And, you know, I know what it's like to wonder if it's ever going to happen. But the bottom line is, and this is what I still tell myself all the time, is that, like, there's no way of knowing, you know, what's going to happen. Anything could happen at any time, and you've got just as good a chance as anybody else out there. So don't surround yourself with people that don't make you feel great and lift you up, because it's very easy to be brought down and to doubt yourself, and that will kill your chances quicker than anything. the one thing that I'll tell you is that you've got to just believe in yourself. You've got to want it so much that you believe you were meant to do it, because you were. If you love it that much, you were, and you've just got to keep, you've got to hang in there. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to have an agent, don't keep it around. Don't keep that agent around unless you feel in your heart that they believe in you, because that's just a waste of your time. Keep knocking on doors and find somebody who you feel does believe in you and has that same excitement that you do, because it's a magical industry, but, it takes time and it's hard, so you've got to love yourself and work hard and take every opportunity, even if it's, you know, something that's not exactly what you're thrilled about that comes along. Just take it as an exercise and do the best you can, and just keep knocking on doors and surround yourself with people who make you feel good, and that you're worthy of a place in this industry, because you need that. And just keep at it. Don't stop. See, I'm still going.
That is such great advice.
I really do feel, I know what it's like. I'm very fortunate, and I've had amazing opportunities I'm so grateful for. But like I said, I've had moments where, you know, the last couple of years haven't been that easy for me, and I know. But you've just got to remember that the pendulum will swing, and somebody will notice, and somebody is always watching. And just stay in there, because it's what you love. And so just love it and do it, and just keep your eye on the ball.
That's right. And I think that's why you've done so well. I remember when I was working with you were such a hard worker, and you were so focused on the outcome. You knew the outcome that you wanted, and I never had a doubt in my mind that you would, I just knew. And I even said to you back then, I don't know if you remember, I said, you will make it. I know you will make it. I had so much faith in you, because you proved it to me even back then. And I said, this girl is going to get whatever she wants. She's going to get it, because she's a hard worker and she believes in herself. And it showed.
Oh, sweet. That's very sweet. But it's true. You have to, and whoever's listening, I hope you feel that kind of burn in your heart when you hear that, because it's, if you love something, you fight for it. And the most important thing that's going to get you to where you want to be is your belief in yourself and your the knowing that you have to have in your heart that you are going to do this, and you have every right to do this, and you're good enough to do this. And just work on that every day, and you'll get there. Don't know when, but you will get there.
You'll get there. Gosh, it makes me want to go back to acting. Maybe I need to follow your advice, Alex.
You're still acting, aren't you? You're still doing some acting.
Very little. Mostly voiceovers, really just voiceovers at this time. But I always say once an actor, always an actor. And I just got to a point for myself where I felt like I just needed a break. It started to become like work, which, was a sign for me that I just needed to pause and reflect and go, maybe I need to focus on other things right now, and I can always come back to it when I feel like that time is right. But there's always that love there and that joy. I think when you're creative and you have that, it's sort of like an outlet of, I need to perform in some aspect in my life. So for me right now, it's voiceover or even coaching, teaching. Yeah, there's that element of performance anyway. But the actual act of auditioning, for role after role, I just felt like I just needed to pause and take
and
a break.
You gotta listen to that, because, and that's another thing, is if it's not feeling good, step away from it for a bit, because that's very good advice, and it's very true. Sometimes it's got to feel good. If it doesn't feel good, then it's not right.
So that's right. Yeah,
I think we've got to be nurturing, and we're creative people, and as long as we're creating, and it feels good. That's all that matters. You can do that in so many different ways. And
yeah, that's it. Yeah, you can create
by,
and
proven by Kat, who wears seven hats.
Seven hats, that's it. Right. But it's so true. You know, we do. We wear creative, different creative hats. And even though you're not maybe acting, you're doing something else that's still filling that sense of creativity, which we need. We thrive on as creative types, right? We have to have that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we don't feel complete. Or at least I know I don't feel complete.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. And there are ways to do that. Like sometimes if the auditions aren't coming or, you know, there, you know, for me, that's been the case for a lot of the last little while. And you find yourself doing other things, anything to keep that sort of magic alive. It's, you don't need to think, oh God, I don't have any auditions, therefore I'm not getting where I need to be. Like there are so many different ways that you can keep that creative flame a burning. It's all working those muscles and keeping you, you know, buzzing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Alex. It was so nice to speak with you. It's been forever, so it was really nice to catch up. And I really appreciate you taking some time out of your life to speak to our listeners and share with them your story.
It was my absolute pleasure. It was so lovely to see you.
Thank you so much, Alex, for sitting down with me today. And if you're out there feeling like you want to work on your American accent and learn my process for mastering the American accent just like Alex did, then go ahead and join me in my number one American accent program, American Accent Freeway. The doors are now open. They are open until Thursday night. So if you want to check it out, all the details, and to join, just head over to KatherineBeckTraining.com/AAF. I've linked it up here in the show notes as well. Go ahead and check it out. The doors are open until midnight Thursday night. And remember, if you ever have a question you'd like to ask me about the podcast, just join me on Instagram at Katherine_Beck_. You can find me there, send me a DM, and let's chat. Let me know if you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the podcast. I would love to hear from you. And coming up next week on the show, I will be talking about why thinking locally instead of globally is holding you back. We're going to look at ways to expand your career to a much larger audience. Until then, don't forget to share the show with all your actor friends. Let them know what's coming up next week and invite them to tune in with you and learn how to become an all-American actor so you can be the working actor you dream to be. Until then, go practice your American accent, and I'll see you back here next time.